Hey, hey, influencer, welcome back to part two of our interview with Joy Chudakov. And in case if you missed part one, you'll definitely want to go back and check it out because she just shared so much good information and amazing insight on how to connect with people, how to grow your network in a way that is really authentic. And today in part two, you'll hear Joy's strategies on how to tap into your passion when starting a new business. We also talked about how men and women are different in business and what you need to test when entering a new phase of growth. We even talked about the best way to grow your client list extremely fast. And this is something that Joy used in her own business when she first started out. And it allowed her to start not with one client or two, but with entire groups right out of the gate. So you'll just really want to listen to this. And I'm going to stop talking because here is Joy Chudakov. This is Esther Kish.
And this is Meta Muller.
And you just caught the latest episode of Born to Influence, the marketing show.
Joy, what is it that makes you happy in your business and also personally? What are some of the things that are most fun for you?
You know, I think I'm really doing what I love. I am living in my purpose. I just love life. I'm in a place in my life where I really love life. I mean, I've designed a business around my family, which is very near and dear to me. It's number one. I love the work I'm doing. I mean, I really feel that it's making an impact, a positive impact on a lot of women. And that brings me a lot of joy. I mean, I think I'm, you know, I want to pinch myself because so many people don't want to get out of bed and go to work on Monday morning, and I really can't wait to get here. So for me, it's just, I'm just happy when I have the time to feel like that I'm present to my clients and I'm present to my own self-care and I'm present to my family. That really meant to know that I'm doing good work. That makes me happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it's really important for anybody who is thinking about starting a business to really find not only something that will be lucrative, but at the same time that will be they will be happy about doing every day for a while, because even if they don't do it for the rest of their lives, it needs to be something that makes them happy and motivated when the challenges come about. So I'm wondering, in your book, it's not out yet, but it's coming out very soon.
So, that's a whole other call we could do about public.
but I'm wondering, you mentioned there that discover your idea, your big idea. That has to do, I have a feeling, with how you tap into that passion or that thing that makes you tick, whatever it may be, so that you can create a business around it, but you're happy doing it day to day. So can you share some tips of what are some of the strategies that you teach to women in that book?
So I think one of the most basic strategies, Esther, is, you know, women wear, we play multiple roles, we wear many hats, you know, we're something to everyone. And so the key to really figuring out what's next for you and tapping into that passion is you have to actually be disciplined. I'm going to use the word discipline. Disciplined enough to remove yourself from your daily life so you can really get present to what's calling you. And I can talk about that a lot. You know, women need to spend a little more time alone. We need to practice solitude. We also need to be asking ourselves the right questions. I have a whole series of questions that I give the women in the book to think about. But so, for example, you know, what one question is, what's missing from your life right now? Or, you know, if you knew you could not fail, what would you do now in your life? Those are just a couple. But it's about really getting centered to what's calling you. So much of our life, my logo is the Nautilus shell. I don't know if you know that or not on my company.
Yeah, yeah.
But part of the reason that's my logo is because, you know, that outside of the Nautilus shell is so massive. And that's really what I believe is our ego and society and what we should be doing. And that penetrates, it's so strong, you know, that message. So women walk around sort of numb. I think they're kind of lulled to sleep for many, many years. I know I was. You know, I was 38 years old when I woke up and finally said, you know, wait a minute, I've got another 40 to go here, and this program's not working for me, right? So I think that we have to then, once we acknowledge it, we have to set aside the time to really get clear. The second thing I would say is you have to be careful who you are spending time with. Most of us have far too many toxic people in our lives, and we don't realize the damage it's doing to us on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. So I recommend that women spend time with positive, uplifting people, people who champion them, so that when they do have an idea, they can get some good, constructive, positive feedback.
Mm-hmm.
That's
really helpful. Thank you. Uh-huh. Thank you. And our audience here, we have both men and women. So I'm wondering, what are some of the differences that you noticed in the approach, what people take to business based on gender? Or is there anything that you noticed and picked up on?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very, a lot.
oh, that sounds like it was loaded.
I mean, men are, you know, and I don't know why, men aren't afraid to ask for business. I mean, just men are just not afraid to ask for business. And
well, that's why I love them.
we as women, you know, we are not as confident, not confident, I don't think that's it. We don't feel comfortable with the art of self-promotion. And so, again, it's not really about self-promotion. It's about coming to be of service. I think if more women could get in their minds that they're being of service, and they're solving a problem for people. Because, you know, women are nurturers by nature. So we think first of how we can help, but then after we've helped someone, somehow we forget to ask for the money. And and money is, you know, to me, money is an energy that I can use to not only take care of my family, but I can use it to help, you know, facilitate and change the world. And I don't mean that in a esoterical way. That sounds so probably, I don't know, a lot of people say that. But what I mean is that I believe that money makes us more of what we are. So if you're mm-hmm. a good person, you're going to be better. If you're a bad person, it's going to be worse, you know, and you know who you are. So that's the first thing. I think women don't ask for business, or they don't ask for the sale as quickly as men do. And, you know, the other thing, too, is I think a lot of women would say when they listen to this, and I'm going to get beat up a little bit, but that's okay. a lot of women feel that there are differences because they wear so many hats and there's so many roles and responsibilities. But those days are over. That's gone. It's mm-hmm. past. We need to move on from it. You know, more. I think I read in American Express, 50 women are starting businesses at 54% of the national average right now. We're ahead of everybody else, and with technology, just like what you gals have put together here, there are no barriers. We're breaking them down. There are barriers in corporate still, but if you really want to be an entrepreneur and start your business, really the sky's the limit, and you can manage it around your children. There's just, in my mind, there's never been a better time, and women just need to realize that the times have changed.
Yeah.
And it's changing.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is I think, and here's the other thing I'll probably get, you know, beat up about, but women have an opportunity to reinvent themselves. Mm-hmm. Men don't always get that opportunity. So let me explain. You know, the traditional male role is to get a job, go to work, and take care of your family. Right? And so they work this job many times from the time they get out of college until they retire. And women, you know, we get the opportunity to, in many cases, to reinvent ourselves. And more women should be taking that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope more men take the opportunity. I'd like to see more men reinventing themselves,
mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact.
Yeah, exactly. I love that, Joy, and I really do see as well with the growth of entrepreneurship, especially amongst women, that we're seeing sort of gender differences change and different identities of you know, what does it mean to be a woman? What does it mean to be a man? Actually really changes. And one thing that's quite fascinating is something that's often seen to be fairly masculine technology is actually what is seems to be paving the way for a lot of women these days.
Yes, absolutely. You
know? Yeah. And it means that a lot of women can, whether they want to stay at home and be able to, you know, look after whatever other responsibilities need to be done there. It can also mean that we get the solitude that you've talked about already, that we need the rejuvenation and so forth, which is, as women, we may need a bit more than men, I don't know. So I do think that that's a really beautiful thing, that the world is really changing and that women are really able to be on the forefront here. Who do you look up to at the moment? I know we've talked about mentors and so forth, but who are really sort of in your view, the most outstanding female entrepreneurs that you see around today?
Gotta think about that for a minute. I think Allie Brown is still a great mentor to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though I've already spoken about her, I do want to say that she's still a great mentor to me. I'm really thinking. Well, you guys, that's a question you've asked me that I'm a little stumped on. Let me think for a second because I don't. So, for example, the name that comes up that is not really a mentor to me, but I think is becoming a mentor to many women is, the Sheryl Sandberg, COO of Facebook.
Yeah.
She's not a mentor to me because I don't think that it's real, but it's not real to the average American woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't agree with a lot of what she says. So I know she has been for some people, but not for me. Wow, I'm going to have to think about that.
What is it you don't agree with?
Well, I don't agree with, the fact, it's great that she married a guy who's earning $1 million and that, also wants to help take care of the kids and all of these other things. But, what does the woman do who reads her book who's in a not so great marriage after 15 years with two kids? What does she do?
Mm-hmm.
Does she just leave him? I don't think so. I mean, or what does the single mom do? I mean, we've got a country where, in the state of California, 60% of all marriages end in divorce. We've got a lot of single moms out there. What does she do when she reads the book? So there were some good things in that book, but there were a lot of things that just don't pan out for the average American woman or the average woman worldwide, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad she wrote the book, actually, because it gave us, it started opening up the conversation, but I don't think much of what she talks about is reality.
Well, I guess in a way it comes down then to the ideal client, because she is clearly speaking to one particular subset of the population, and they are the ones that resonate with the message because they may be in the position or they can see themselves being there fairly soon. So that might be one of the ways to look at it, really, that it works for some people, but not, like you said, not for everybody.
Yes.
But I'm wondering, I want to take back for a second, because you're not going to get beat up on this show at all. I love what you said earlier. And I'm wondering, sometimes I really get frustrated with working with women because it seems to me that they delay in asking for a sale, or occasionally I get people who are completely new in business and they would like to work with me, but they have a difficulty getting their minds around the necessity of having to market and having to do paid advertising and not just expect, that I will do JVs with other coaches and that will bring all the, six-figure income or whatever it may be. And so I'm wondering, what is that mindset that you see? Because I don't think it's a lack of ambition. It's just that they're not in the right mindset for business or for asking for the sale, some of them.
Well, yes, that's right. They're not, yeah, in that specific example, they're not in the right mindset. And so I think one of the things that we have to ask ourselves, whether it's a man or a woman, is have they started the business because they're serious about making income, or have they started a business because it's a hobby? And there's nothing wrong with either one, but you have to know the purpose. And here's the thing where I think could be helpful here, Esther, is when with those clients, a really good way to know if they're serious is to ask them, what are your goals? You know, how much money do you want to make? And if you want to make that, how many clients are you expecting to have to do that? Because as you gals, you're smart, both know, you know, that it's just a calculator, a pencil, and a piece of paper. You know, if I want to make $100,000 a year, as an example, and this is what my products or services cost, I just have to back the numbers into it, right? So then when you ask that question, if people are sort of like, well, I don't know, you know, oh, I never thought about that, that sometimes can tell you that's more of a hobby for them than a serious business. Because serious business owners, they know those answers. Or if they don't know, they're like, man, I haven't looked at it in a long time. Can you help me with that? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
No. That's quite interesting, Joy. I had a conversation with a potential client the other day. It was I'd promised her a free strategy session where we could look at her business, what's going on, and whether I could help her or not. And what we actually, the conclusion that we actually came to was that by asking her these exact questions, well, she actually did not want to grow her business. She was actually not interested in what it would take to grow her business, and she realized that she was actually quite content where she was, but she'd gotten into the mindset that, oh, I have to grow. I have to look like everyone else and so forth. So I really appreciate you saying that. You know, for some people it's okay that it's you know, just a hobby, and for other people it's, you know, they do want to grow their businesses, and I do think that needs to be taken into regard as well. It doesn't make a sale, of course, for a business coach, but
well, that's right, it doesn't, but Matt, you've made a good observation in that because you're a serious business owner, it saved you a lot of time down the road, you know,
exactly.
To move on to someone who really wants your service. And I think that's really, you know, one of the things that I know that I do is whether someone's joining one of my, you know, my year-long group programs or my six-month programs or private, is to say, this is how I work, this is my methodology, this is my process, let's make sure that this is what you want also. The other thing I think of what's going on in the coaching world that needs to change is we coaches need to be using more metrics. We need to be, I know it sounds corporate, but we need to have something to measure. We need to measure our work so that we can make sure that what we're doing and what they're doing is actually producing the result that we contracted for.
Yeah. In fact, in the very beginning when you shared your story with us, when you first launched Smart Women, Smart Solutions, that the very first thing you did, although maybe unknowingly, was testing the offer, because the 9 months full day once a month, that was just not going to work, and all you needed to do is adjust the offer, and immediately you were able to fill four groups. So can you tell us a little bit about the mindset of what is exactly behind testing? What are some of the key things that we need to test at any level of business, not just for beginners? But let's just say if you have, I don't know, a six-figure business, but you want to go to multiple six or seven figures, what are some of the different things that you need to look at and test again?
Well, I think the first question that I always ask myself is, you know, I ask my team, let's find out what this will cost. Let's get all of our costs in order. And then if we find out what it will cost, then I can say, okay, how many of these do we need to market and sell, right? And then from that, I have to say, okay, now let's run a survey. I'm very big on surveys. I survey my list, my clients a lot. Because I want to hear from them if this is a good idea. I see a lot of entrepreneurs living in a vacuum and sitting in their offices, you know, like a laboratory, making up all these grandiose plans. But then you say, well, did you ask anyone if they wanted that product or service? Well, no. You know, so it's important that we survey the people that we think fit the target. It's also very important to say, okay, based on the cost to run the program and the price point that we need to set, will people be willing to pay that? And we have to survey our audience and ask them, right? I'm never afraid to ask someone what they think about an idea. People who are close to me know that my feelings won't get hurt. Tell me, wow, that is a terrible idea, you know? Or, you know, it sounds good, but I would do it this way. I'm always open to new perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. And so people can use SurveyMonkey or maybe in the email just a couple of questions, or Google Forms actually gives us very easily usable free tools to be able to conduct something like this. So I know that our time is coming to the end very soon here. I want to thank you, first of all, for all the information that you've shared, because you've been so generous with us. Thank you. And I want to ask, because our show is about influence and how we can make a bigger difference in the world. In your experience and with your philosophy, what are some of the things that we can do to become more influential through our marketing?
Well, that's a really, really good question. And I think the way that you can influence people more and create a better marketing campaign for everyone is, it's important for you and everyone to develop your platform. When I say the platform, your beliefs about whatever type of business you're in, everybody needs to have their belief about what that is. Okay? I have a set of core principles that I believe about women entrepreneurs in business. It's never going to change. No one's ever going to change my mind. This is what I believe, and I talk about it all the time. I talk about it in my newsletters. I talk about it online. This is important, Esther, because what I see is people this is a big question. I'm sorry that you're asking me, but I really want to give you a good answer.
Please do.
Yeah. I see people changing so much. Like, so I see someone with this message this month, and then 60 days later, it's an entirely different message. And then and then you start to think, well, what is it that he or she, what do they really do? What is their specialty? What is their gift? What are they a genius at? And I think one of the things that's really helped me over the years is that my message has stayed consistent. I am who I am. People know what I believe. And the people who like that follow me, and the ones who don't follow someone else that has a different belief. And so I think it's about developing your platform, your formula, what you really believe is true about your business. And then you just talk about that over and over and over again, and you don't change it. The one thing that I do know for sure is that you cannot over-communicate anymore in business, because we've got too much competition. There's the podcast, there's the social media, there's the newsletters, all these things going on. So we have to be speaking the same message all the time, right? And now when you speak the same message all the time, of course you'll tweak it. When you see what works, you'll tweak it a little bit. But again, I believe it's just like a 15 to 20 degree shift. If we go like this all the time with our message, they can't focus with us. Mm-hmm. It also breaks down your referral process. You know, I will say this. I mean, one of the big leaps in my business, and this was in both my businesses, was from centers of influence. People who influenced lots of people, but your centers of influence can only help you if you have a consistent message. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Just define centers of influence for our audience. I think I know what you mean, but I would like to make sure that everybody is on the same page.
Yeah, so one of the things I advise all my clients, new clients or clients who've been in business for a few years, is that who do you know that serves your ideal client? Who do you know that knows your client in huge numbers that could help you? That is going to be better than any podcast, social media. That's going to be better than anything else you could ever do. Because when those influential people who have built trust and relationships with your ideal client, when they say, call Esther and Matt, they have the best show. You're going to get all this publicity, this reach. Just call them. Don't question it. Just do whatever they tell you. That's what they're going to do. They're going to call you, and they're just going to do it. When my influential people send me clients for my programs or my coaching, we really don't even have to do the interview. They're just like, okay, when can we get started? Because someone they respect told them to do this. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. Yeah. Maddie, do you have any questions here in closing?
No, I think that was great, Joy. I really, really, really enjoyed all of your stuff today, especially talking more about women entrepreneurs. It's something we haven't talked about on this show yet, right, Esther?
Yeah,
we've covered a little bit of introverts here and there, because Esther and I are both strong introverts here, but So it's been such a pleasure to have you, Joy. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. And so you have to let me know when the show is airing so we can do some social media on it.
Absolutely, we will. And Joy, please share with our audience one more time the title of your book, also your company, your website, where people can find you, all that good stuff, and we'll put all the links below in the show notes.
Sure. So my company website is smartwomensolutions.com, and I actually have a free 5-day video series that we give away on that site on the homepage. They can get that. They can also sign up for my newsletter that comes out biweekly there. The place where they can go to learn about the book is smartwomensolutions.com/what's next. And that's a place where they can get priority notification about the book coming out. It'll be out really, really soon. I can't give you exact date yet, but it's coming out soon. And this book is, again, it's not just a book that you're going to read. It's a how-to. It's going to come with a free companion workbook, and I'm pretty proud of it. I think it's going to help a lot of women. The other thing people may want to do, because we're going to be doing a very big launch, very big contest on Facebook, if they want to go like my page at facebook.com/joychudikoff official.
Joy Chudikoff official.
That's my page for the book, and we're releasing quotes from the book every day there, a couple times a day right now. So it would be great if people went there, because they can also have a chance to win an iPad, some gift cards, and there's going to also be a free giveaway for someone to come work with me for an entire day.
Oh, wow. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm really delighted that we got to do this. I'm excited for both of you. You guys are really talented. So you just need to get the message out. You're both. I'm very impressed with what I see on Facebook. I actually do read what people write there, and and I can tell when somebody's on their game or not. And you guys are on your game.
Well, that concludes our interview with Joy Chudikoff. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I know I always love talking with Joy. And I wanted to ask you for a quick favor. If you could please hop on over to our Facebook page at facebook.com/born to influence and leave a comment there about what was your number one biggest takeaway from this interview with Joy. I know she would enjoy seeing it and reading it, and so would I myself for sure, and Meta as well. So thank you so much for that, and I'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place.